You're listening to a Davenport After Dark podcast. Tune in every Thursday night at 10 o'clock on News Talk 106 to 108.
Actually, Fionn, Valentine's Day, I just want to ask you a little question. What is
love, anyway? Secondhand emotion.
Ah, Tina. She's known love, she's known loss.
Oh, yeah. And she has the scars to prove it. But you know what? She was definitely looking for love in the wrong places, we know that. But maybe she had the wrong idea of what love actually is.
How do you mean?
Well, love is really a micro moment of positivity resonance.
Wow, weak of the knees.
Yeah,
charmer.
Yep, a micro moment. Well, that's what Dr. Barbara L. Fredrickson of the University of North Carolina, who is the author of Love 2.0, How Our Supreme Emotions Affects Everything We Feel, Think, Do and Become, what she thinks or she writes about in her book, and she joins us now. Barbara, how are you?
Good, good.
So a micro moment of positivity resonance. Kieran is, I can see he's already, he's just like, he's flushed red. But can you explain it to us?
Yeah, it doesn't just trip off the tongue like, I love you, I admit. That's kind of the phrase that comes out of the science. But what that means is that moment of connection that you feel when you really click with someone else and feel like you really understand and appreciate each other. In those micro moments, there's a wave of good feeling that rolls across two bodies and brains at once, and a biobehavioral synchrony comes forth.
But if it's a micro moment, then by very definition, it doesn't last that long.
Exactly. There's no emotion that was built to last. I mean, emotions come and go, kind of like perfect weather. But they are the building blocks for strong and healthy relationships.
But Barbara, can I ask, when we're talking about love here, are we talking about like a romantic notion of love? Because, you know, I'd hate to think of like that my mother loved me for a micro moment.
You know, actually, I think we too often think of love in the same breath with romance and marriage or even just our loved ones. And that, I think, is just far too restrictive, because we can experience these micro moments of connection with anybody, whether it's your soulmate or your mother or your child or a stranger.
Is there not a different kind of love, like say the romantic love you feel for your partner, your wife, whatever, versus say the love you might feel for a friend or, as Kieran said, for your parents?
You know, there are different kinds of relationships, to be sure, but at the basic core level, the emotional process of binding us to these people comes through these kind of snapshot moments of connection. So while being in love or falling of, it might be the most intense and memorable form. You know, you could have a very mild and much more frequent state of connection with just about anybody you interact with today.
And those micro moments, those kind of snapshots, like, is it subjective, like how long they last for? Do some of us, for some people, will they, like, you know, after a week the moment's gone? For others, it lasts a little longer? Or,
well, I'm a scientist who studies emotions, and emotions last with, you know, for a matter of seconds and minutes, not weeks. I mean, think of it like, you know, that smile that shows up on your face or that warm glow. I mean, that's not a continual feeling. Now, it can create an attachment to somebody or a bond, and those things last, but at the very basic level, love happens in these micro moments.
Barbara, now, I'm married. I got married just over a year ago. Kieran here is getting married relatively soon. So, you know, there's personal involvement here. Are we putting too big a burden of expectation on a more traditional definition of love?
You know, marriage can be great and marriage can be long-lasting. But I think that if we think that our love, our emotion should feel exactly the same day in and day out for decades, then we're going to be disappointed. And love, while though it may not be everlasting, it is forever renewable, and it's something you can recreate, you know, especially when you understand sort of what unlocks it, you know, anytime you want.
So essentially, like, I can keep experiencing micro moments, but with the same person.
Now, exactly. It's sort of a booster shot for your relationship. relationship. It makes those relationships feel more trusting, makes you excited to be loyal and committed, and it's part of what bonds people together.
Now, the kind of more traditional version of love as a continually present emotion. Now, by your terms, it's fairly restrictive. But if a couple stop feeling that continuous feeling, you know, it often happens that one or both can easily interpret this as a sign that it's time to cut and run. So a lot of relationships then risk ending for all the wrong reasons. So, like, basically because of bad science.
Exactly. So, I like to say that love, the way I'm defining it, is both smaller and larger than the old school version of love. You know, it's smaller in that it lasts less time, but it's larger in that it is the glue that keeps us healthy, together, wiser, on positive trajectories of growth. I liken it to a nutrient. You know, it's part of what makes us come alive and healthy.
There's, I was just looking at some polling. Is that something like between 20% and 30% of people polled will admit to feeling lonely or strong senses of loneliness. So this kind of stuff, this, you know, love is a micro moment and possible, you know, it can happen at any time. That's kind of good news for them.
It is. It's good news for anybody who doesn't have a Valentine on this Valentine's Day. It's very freeing to be able to think, you know, you're not locked out of love if you're not in a close relationship.
And in terms of, I suppose, recreating those micro moments with the same person, as Fionn said, I'm getting married in the summer, you know what I mean? I have to think about how I'm going to continue to recreate these micro moments. Like, I know you've spoken about, written about, say, the ancient Buddhist practices and exploiting them.
We love to think that love is unconditional, that it can just emerge no matter what. And I've pointed out that actually you have to set the stage, and the stage is set both by feeling safe and by creating opportunities to connect in person. Certainly you can connect over a voice channel as well, because so much emotion is conveyed through the voice. But, you know, when we put more and more technology between us, that makes it much more difficult to catch each other's feelings and let this this positivity resonate between people. So there's also a tremendous benefit to tapping into ancient techniques to increase feelings of kindness. And my research lab has spent a lot of time studying those ancient practices and show their health benefits.
Okay, well, the book is called Love 2.0, How Our Supreme Emotion Affects Everything We Feel, Think, Do, and Become. The author is Dr. Barbara Fredrickson, who works at the University of North Carolina. Thank you very much for talking to us this evening, and apologies for the quality of the line there that kind of came in and out all the time. Kieran, you know when micro moments happen for me is... No,
when?
Towards me is when I do the hoovering.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's when you create a micro-movement, ancient Buddhist practice of hoovering.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a micro... Well, certainly, I feel micro-momented. That was a Davenport After Dark podcast, live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on News Talk 106 to 108 FM.